opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who supported me through this journey. Our topic today is how AI impacts leadership. It's something that I've been kind of thinking about quite a bit lately, just due to the AI and how popular AI is, and everybody's talking about it. So I thought it would be a great topic. And today, I'm so lucky to have on as a returning guest, Sarah TV Russell. Now, Sarah will tell you first and foremost that she is a long practicing student of yoga, which has informed her holistic business approach and sets her apart in the business world. She has been insanely successful and a total failure along her career path, both which have taught her many lessons in consistency, perseverance, and entrepreneurship. Sarah has consulted for over 60 organizations, founded 7 startups, 5 brands, 2 nonprofit, and co-founded 5 startups in her professional career. As a certified change management professional and an innovative learning and development leader, Sarah brings a wealth of experience and a diverse background with a long and exceptional track record in the wellness, beauty, and natural food sectors, startups, and most recently, government consulting. Sarah is probably excited about digital enablement and harnessing the quickly evolving landscape of generative AI and machine learning to create custom content to accelerate growth and scale businesses most effectively. When she is not working, Sarah can be often found enjoying the Rocky Mountains she calls home or traveling with family and friends across the globe. She also stays busy as a volunteer with several animal rescue groups, tending to her high altitude garden. Now, Sarah is just, I can't say enough about this individual. She is super passionate. She's kind. She's energetic. She's just the perfect person that when you just meet this person, you just gravitate to her. So I have found myself gravitating to her for many different reasons. And I could go on and on about her, but that would probably take out the whole podcast. So we'll just start it now and we'll bring her on. Welcome back, Sarah. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Thank you, Andrew. It's so awesome to be back. And I always blush when you say all those things about me. I really appreciate it. It's kind of weird sitting back and listening to somebody gloat about you, but it's nice as well. Thank you.
Well, you know, when you do good things or when you are a good person, then it's easy. I find it's, you know, some people it's easy to talk about them and easy to say nice things about them. And you are one of those people. And just so that people know, Sarah is back. Sarah currently has the number one downloaded episode of Let's Be Diverse. So, and it's on generative AI. So if you haven't listened to that one, I say you listen to this one, and then I think you should go and listen to that one because she is a superb individual. And that's probably why her podcast is in the number one spot currently.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
It's super exciting. It's nice to be in that spot, isn't it?
Absolutely. We'll keep them coming.
Yes, we'll keep them coming. Absolutely. Well, how are things with you? I want to know what's going on with you. What's the deets? What's happening in your world? What's going on?
Well, it seems like life keeps getting busy, busy and busier. Right now, I guess our big exciting news is on February 14th, on Valentine's Day, we were finally able to adopt our 4.5, almost 5-year-old son. So that's been all consuming for the last 4 or so years. And now I think my husband and I are just taking a pause, taking a break and realizing like, oh, now life goes on. So it's been a really exciting journey. And now we're just trying to figure out what's next because we've been waiting for that for so long and traveling back and forth between states. And so, yeah, trying to find a place to settle everything and start the next chapter.
Yes. So congratulations on that. I think that's super exciting. I saw the video and I told my wife it's one of the cutest things. So if you haven't seen it, the child was sitting by the judge in the pew and the judge said, you could go see your family. And the child just ran off the pew and ran exactly to Sarah and her husband. And it just melts your heart when you see that. It's, you know, sometimes people say, okay, well, someone's adopting a kid, you know, does the kid actually want to go with them? There was no doubt in my mind watching that video that the child was so happy to have them as a parent. He literally ran to see them. It was so cute. Well,
he literally skipped. I thought that was what was so funny. He skipped, he hit the gavel and then he skipped away. It was a lovely video. I was so glad a friend caught it. And, you know, I actually shared that publicly and I had so many people that just said, you know, I was having a bad day. And then I watched that and just, it was amazing. And I watched it like 16 times. So yeah. I'm glad that it's bringing other people joy too, because it was a very joyous moment. And I think he exudes that as well.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So before we begin, I wanted to tell you and tell our guests today. Today is a memorable day for myself. It is, I'd say, a groundbreaking news that I would say to you. And that is that just a little after a year of being in existence of this podcast, today, this current episode that you're all listening to, and Sarah, you are part of it, this is my 100th episode.
Yay, that's so exciting, Andrew. Congratulations. I'm feeling blessed to be a part of it. Thank you.
I'm kind of counting it down and trying to get the guests set up. And it just was fitting that you were the guest for the 100th episode. I don't know if there would be, you know, might have been a couple of other people, but I think you were just the one that I wanted to have as that guest. So thank you so much for being part of this. Thank you so much for being part of early on. And like I said before, I can see that that episode was so interesting to people. And this is why I wanted you to be part of this special day for me.
Well, I feel honored. Thank you. I'm excited to, you know, I'm always excited to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate that. So let's have some fun here, Sarah. Before we begin, I always have a fun question to ask my guests to get things going. Are you ready for yours today?
Yeah, these are the ones that make me the most nervous.
Now, these are the ones that kind of have, they're more fun for me than they are for the guests. Because I like to ask them and I like to see the response and I like to hear the response. So your question today is, what food item would you say best represents your personality?
Oh, represents my personality. Well, so I'm a vegetarian, so I would, it has to be a vegetable. So I don't know. I don't know if there's any, maybe a beet, because they're, you know, a little bit of a party as they're growing from the root, and really bright and vibrant, I guess. I've been told I'm a pretty vibrant person to be around. And yeah, I'd say beets. And I love beets like so much. I pickle beets and I can them like a crazy lady. So I'm going to go with beets. Yeah, we're going root vegetable. Finally.
Well, you would definitely get along with my wife because she is one of those people who just absolutely love beets as well. She just can devour those things. She just loves them. And whenever we're having a meal that it kind of goes with it, she will gravitate to that. I'll eat them. It's not my, I would say, not my favorite thing to eat. It's not something that I go crazy over. I do like them. I do enjoy them. But my wife, she just absolutely loves them. And it sounds like she likes them just as much as you do.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to send some to you guys.
Well, that would be awesome. She probably would love you forever just for that, just because she just loves those things. Well, thanks very much for having fun with me on this one. I really feel like you gave a great answer. And not knowing what the question was ahead of time, I think you gave a really good answer. You thought quick on your feet and you did it. Well, why don't we start off? So for those who haven't had a chance to listen to that first episode that I was just talking about, Let's Be Diverse, which I totally think you should. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your story, and your why?
Yeah. So from a career perspective, I have had a really long history of self-employment. working as both a yoga instructor and then also scaling wellness businesses and then, you know, also tech startups. And now I do work for a consulting firm for the government here in the US. And I have loved every moment of that journey. And I've just learned and grown so much with each new thing that I'm diving into. And the joy of consulting for me, something that I gravitated towards it was just being able to be, you know, kind of an independent entity, but also working towards this greater good, this, you know, solving this complex problem for an organization. And so that's really what keeps me ticking. And with all of the boom of AI that's entering, generative AI that's coming to the scene right now and powering so many possibilities for so many fields, and just the way, the rapid pace that we're moving in. I love that pace. It reminds me of those small tech startups that I hold near and dear to my heart, just the speed and pace at which it moves. And so that's really where I come in. I love thinking through processes for animating, you know, the mundane, getting rid of those manual extra things to do, and you know, creating a more rapid and better, more efficient procedure and process to put in place. And so AI has been that for me from a learning and development standpoint, because that's really my bread and butter and what I love the most about all of this that I've done, working at building trainings and utilizing the new capabilities of generative AI have been amazing for everything from ChatGPT, which we talked a little bit about in the previous episode that I was in, you know, just for script writing and things like that, to, you know, really using a software that I love called Synthesia. Maybe I shouldn't pitch a software on here. Maybe they'll give you lots of money now, but I absolutely love it. I think it's hands down the best thing out there right now. And then I've also been developing my own AI software. So I look forward to being able to share that in the coming months as well. And that's a video generation software with a voice component and, you know, inputting script, and hopefully it'll all come together. But I look forward to sharing that at a later time. But those are the things that excite me. I do have a background in film way back in the day. I went to film school. So it's funny, 20 years later, my careers have all just kind of melded together and created this life and career that I really, really love. And getting to talk to you about AI and how we use it is even better.
So what I love about your story here is, so I'm sure that the listeners will hear it. I feel like it's so evident, and that's your passion. And I feel like when people are either starting a business or starting their careers, a lot of people have trouble or they struggle with finding that passion. And I could just hear it in your voice that you have that passion for what you're doing. You just love it. And I can almost feel like, you know, talking to you on the phone, that I could just feel like you're smiling and you're excited about what you're doing. And that is super important. And it gets you out of, you know, out of bed to start the day and excited about what's going to come and what's to come for the day and the exciting things that you are going to be doing. So I love that. And I also love your independent nature of wanting to do stuff on your own. I feel that's so innovative, Sarah, because you're betting on yourself that you can do stuff independently and help other organizations doing your stuff independently, and they are hiring you to do this stuff. And I feel that's so innovative. And I just love that about you, that you're courageous enough to go out and do those things.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's just in my nature. I don't know any other way to be. So I go after what I want.
Yeah, and that's the best way to be. I totally agree with you. If you have something and you have a goal, just do it. Go after it. Don't wait. I totally agree with you. So we all know that leaders are always looking to find different ways to make decisions. What are some of the ways AI can help leaders make decisions?
Well, I think that really, you know, I'd say the first and foremost, the number one thing that it can do is it can assist in gathering data and automating things that would otherwise be manual, and making decisions, like the process of decision-making, offering those valuable insights, you know, automating routine tasks, analyzing like just so much data that someone couldn't sift through it on their own. And so I think that those things are ways that it can help a leader kind of narrow down what it is that they need to do or find. Sometimes that's the hardest the hardest part is even, you know, trying to figure out what your question is. And, you know, the use of generative AI and AI technologies that are rapidly emerging, you know, from, you know, data science to, you know, video, there's just all sorts of ways to use it. And I think that we don't even know what's to come, right? Like we're just kind of scratching the surface right now. So I think that decision making will be, you know, we'll be able to make more informed decisions. In the end, you know, it will take a human to make that decision, but we can gather the data. I'm very data driven. So gathering that data and really being able to analyze it. So leaders are going to have to learn how to read that data really well and know what their question is that they're seeking. I think those are going to be the most important things to move forward. But yeah.
So I had a discussion with somebody on a previous podcast a while back, and we were talking about data, and one of the things that we were talking about is that companies will get the data and they won't believe the data. So they'll say like, oh, they'll look at it and go, oh well, either we don't need it, or I thought it was something that it was going to be important for us, but we don't really need it at this point, or it can't be right. So this is stuff that we had talked about a while back, and I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's all sorts of garbage data and there's a lot of collection, and I've used systems, you know, just let's talk about using an Excel spreadsheet to track just a simple thing. And so then there's more complexities at it. So you have more Excel spreadsheets. So now I've got maybe 3, 5, 10 Excel spreadsheets. And now I need to get data from all those spreadsheets, but I'm collecting it in different ways. And so if I can use something that can automate that process, where I can gather all that data and then spit out the information that I need that's relevant, like a percentage of total for X, Y, and Z, or, you know, how many have not done this and how many have done this, that's how that data is going to be more useful. I think it all comes down to the source of where you're getting that data. So those spreadsheets, for instance, might have really good data on them, but in order to sift through it, it's going to take days. When if you automate a process to input that same data into one system, it's going to obviously be a lot more effective and efficient to be used. You know, the opposite is true as well. So if that data to begin with is not good, if it's just, you know, not a big enough pool of information, or you're not gathering the right information to get the answer that you want, that's not going to be helpful. So I don't think that, I'm not sure if people don't believe the data. I think that you have to understand the source of where it's coming from before you can actually say it's good or bad, and then move forward from there.
So all this talk leads me to the next question is that, are leaders afraid of AI?
Oh, I think that there's all sorts of reasons to be afraid of AI, but I think that's also a sign that they don't really understand the capabilities of it. You know, if you look at it as a powerful tool, it can really revolutionize industries, drive innovation, improve efficiencies. But, you know, there's some cautionary tales too. There's going to be some regulations, you know, some ethical considerations, some regulations that need to be put into place. And, you know, depending on what side of, you know, from a startup, from like the startup business, like, you know, there's a fear of disruption, but great things happen with disruptors. And so there's a huge opportunity for startups, for more mainstream kind of, you know, if you look at what happened with Kodak as digital moved away, you know, people using film less, they weren't ready for that. There was this disruptor that they weren't prepared for, and they, you know, really lost a lot of business, and they're not the leader anymore. So, you know, I think that there needs to be a lot of horizon scanning in order for a leader to feel comfortable with it. But overall, it's a lack of understanding. And then I think once they harness that and recognize that, if you can become someone who can master learning how to utilize the systems and the processes and, you know, these AI technologies, your job's not going anywhere. Your job may shift and change quite a bit, but you're going to be a valuable part of how that AI moves forward. And I think that's what leaders need to consider.
It's interesting that you use the word disruptor. So can you kind of go into a little bit more in depth of that? Like when you say disruptor, because people would maybe kind of think like, oh, disruptor, like causing issues, causing problems. Mm-hmm. But is AI like causing a problem that you think, and a problem for leaders to help lead their teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on the industry and the leader, right? But so, you know, a disruptor is something that brings something new. Like let's look at like, you know, how people used to hail a cab, and then Uber and, you know, Lyft and those types of ride share platforms came on the scene. That's considered a disruptor. So when you're disrupting something, you're just changing the way that people go about things. You know, over a decade ago, two decades ago, we didn't have smartphones, and now everyone's got a computer in their pocket. I remember sitting in high school math and my teacher saying, it's not like everyone's going to have a computer in their pocket. So you need to, you know, remember how to do this times this. And it's kind of funny how, like, we didn't even know what we didn't know. Right. So that's essentially what a disruptor is. I can't tell you what the disruptors are going to be because, you know, they're just so unknown. But the technological advances and the pace that we're moving in, there's definitely going to be something else. I mean, I can tell you right now, just looking at like Sora, ChatGPT just came out with that new video. It's essentially ChatGPT for video. So you input your information on what you want the scene to look like, and boom, you have a film scene, right? It's a film set. That's a huge disruptor because, you know, we need to figure out like how that integrates to Hollywood and how someone like me who works in talent management, learning and development, how I can actually use, you know, things like that, those kinds of videos to actually enhance the learnings that I'm creating. I mentioned Synthesia earlier, but using an AI technology with an avatar rather than having to get a whole film crew together to have a SME on set and then somebody to film it and then edit it and then lay over any other voiceover or PowerPoint slides or whatever it is that's needed. And instead I can just get the information from the SME, create the video with a script, boom, it's ready for consumption. So I think that it's just a matter of how we charge ahead with it, right? It's definitely, disruption is a good thing, but there are boundaries and limitations, and we have to make sure that we're moving in the right direction and using it ethically.
And I imagine, like you said, designing courses, I imagine it is going to be, make it a lot easier for, let's say, so for companies that want to design, let's say, like an e-learning course, I imagine it's going to be a lot easier to develop that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I am always a champion of the mom and pop shop. Like, I was an independent business owner for so long. And at the time, you know, in the early aughts to mid aughts or to the teens, it was really, you know, there was a lot of change is happening very quickly, but it was very challenging to understand how to like really get yourself out there with marketing and you're up against these bigger budgets. And, you know, like, I feel like there's an ability to level the playing field for the smaller guys. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the bigger players have more money and can throw more at it. So right. I think it's just going to be this, you know, this constant ebb and flow that we're going to continue to see. Mm-hmm.
So can leadership be replaced by AI, or do you think it's going to be replaced by AI?
I don't think that leadership is going to be replaced. And, you know, I've heard a lot of different statistics on how many jobs are going to be lost. And I think I wrote it down somewhere. But, you know, by 2030, I think that there's going to be a potential displacement of like 400 million or 800 million jobs. I know it's a very broad range, but it's somewhere in there. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of displacement of jobs, but what we haven't considered is all the jobs that are going to be created from that. And like I said, leadership is going to change the way, it's going to change what leadership looks like. So someone who's harnessing those technologies is going to do a lot, you know, going to be a lot more effective in their role as a leader. You know, the thing about AI technology is like, you can't teach empathy. You can't teach soft skills. You can't teach like this conversation that we're having. Like, we could program something to answer your questions and, you know, it could come out of ChatGPT and be the scripted thing, but you're not going to, like you said earlier in the conversation, I'm passionate about this. You're not going to have some AI technology that's passionate and like wanting to tell you what's next.
Right.
And that's where the disruption comes in too. So leaders are going to have to disrupt, but using predictive analytics, automation, you know, AI can help with those decision support, but really that personalization, that empathy, communication, collaboration, those are all things that are still going to need leadership probably more than ever, right? Mm-hmm. Because everything else is going to be so automated that those skills will be so much more needed.
And I think that leaders will be able to use it in some capacities, like you said, for the greater good and to help them to develop what they're looking to develop or helping develop stuff for their team. So I think, like you said, if they are okay with it and they are pro AI and ChatGPT, well, then it's going to make it easy for them. And like you say, the ones that are kind of not with it or behind the times, or, you know, someone who's been a leader for X number of years and has been doing it a certain way and now going to change things, I feel like they're going to struggle with it. So I think, you know, the more that you learn, I think the more that you understand it as a leader, I think the better it's going to be for you and for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think if we just look at it as a tool to support and enhance that human leadership, you know, because the human touch is the interpersonal skills, the emotional intelligence, the, you know, ethical judgments that they can make. If those things can better inform those decisions and working through those issues that arise, then better. But yeah, it'll never be able to replace a person. You're right.
So I know we probably did answer it, but let's go in a little bit in depth here. What do you think the future is for AI? Do you think it's going to impact leadership majorly? Do you think it's going to change it a little bit? Like, what do you see? Because you're in it every day. You see the data, you see all the numbers. What do you see?
I think it already is. I think it already is. And leaders are either going to embrace it now or wait and probably not be at the top of their leadership game. I think the number one buzzword that I'm hearing across all industries is innovation. And innovation is really where this is all sitting. And so I see people wanting, well, there's more complex problems to be solved as we go forward with different kinds of businesses. And that technology needs to somehow meet that demand. And people that are operating these technologies or working in these fields, they're going to have to become incredibly digitally literate. And so I think that's probably the number one thing that we're going to see. Anybody that's looking to get into leadership in the future, like, great, go after your MBA, do those things. But really focus on what kind of technologies are on the horizon and what's coming and what the future of leadership looks like. I think that that's where universities struggle to keep up because they have to stick to curriculum and they build it. And then it has to get approved and it has to go through all these bureaucracies. And sometimes just like getting in the trenches and getting your hands dirty is the way to do it. So the other part of that is leaders now who maybe have been leading for 20, 30 years, they're going to have to make a shift. So, you know, you've got these new adopters who are, you know, this younger generation who really they've only grown up with technology. So this is kind of the next natural progression for them. And I think it'll be easier for them to adopt. What I see when I work in digital technology and digital enablement for a workforce is I see people who are, I don't want to say older, but maybe people who have been in a role for a long time, they don't understand the reason why they would need to shift or the reason they would need to learn a new skill or a new technology. And so I think building that growth mindset is going to be so important for that innovation, and it's a part of innovation. And that's where you then become, you know, a little bit more competitive by building in that digital literacy for your staff. So yeah, I see all sorts of changes coming down the pipe.
I love when you use innovation. I use that word and I love that you said it's a buzzword because there are a lot of buzzwords out there. Innovation is one of them. I hear a lot of people saying innovation or talking about somebody when they say, you know, that they are innovative. And I do feel like, you know, a leader, if they want to progress and they want to go with the changes, you don't have to necessarily become a ChatGPT or AI guru or genius. But I feel the more familiarity that you have with it as time goes on, I feel like it's going to be a lot easier for you because you'll be a little bit more familiar and you'll be able to more answer more questions as I know the more that you know is where I'm going.
And I think that the other, you know, you just kind of touched on it, but I think what people will really need to do as leaders is come up with those ethical guidelines and build SOPs around how they use that technology. So you mentioned, like, you know, a leader, you're gonna maybe know about ChatGPT, you don't have to be the expert, but you might want to have some policies or start working right now, build policies in place on like how your workforce uses it. Is there data on your intranet that you do not want out in public? Do you have a way to create your own version of ChatGPT internally where you can sort, you know, if you've got the, that kind of tech ability. I know a lot of companies are, you know, they have those internal search engines that can find everything. Well, that would just be like another step up, right? So I think that that's where you're going to see a lot of leadership changes is like just trying to build these ethical qualifications and guardrails, if you will, around these technologies.
And you could tell me if you think I'm off base here, but I feel like the people that are going to struggle are those companies that have been in existence for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, started by somebody's grandfather or dad, and they're no longer involved, but the younger ones are, you know, involved, but they were taught by the originator, the original person, the original Joe of the business. So they've only been taught how to run the business that particular way. So I feel like those are type of instances where I feel like they're going to struggle because we're so used to doing it the old way that all of a sudden this new thing is coming in and maybe they might be like, oh, it's not going to be anything big. Just like you said earlier, being in school and your teacher's like, no, not everybody's going to be carrying a computer in their pocket. And here we are now. I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a cell phone. And if they do, it's kind of weird. Whereas back then, it'd be like, oh, it's weird. Like, wow, you got a cell phone? That's kind of cool. Now it's like everybody has one. So like I said, if you don't have one, you know, you're kind of like, what do you mean you don't have a cell phone? Like, everybody has a cell phone. Like, what are you talking about?
I think you're right. So it's a yes and scenario. I think that those, you know, if they're just handing it down to family, like hopefully they've got people that are running it in the right way. I think all sorts of businesses are going to have to evolve. I mean, we saw it happen when websites came on, right? Like for a while it was, you know, like you could only do brick and mortar, and then people started getting websites, and then people started being able to sell on Amazon. So things have continued to move forward. And I think that people know that if they don't have a website, they're not going to get found. Like that, there's just no way about it, right? And so I think that these similar things are going to happen. I used Kodak as an example. You know, that changeover from film to digital was so huge. And it changed, you know, Kodak was one of the most powerful companies when it came to their profit share and how well they were doing as a corporation. So I think those are lessons to be learned. And I'm sure that there are university classes studying those kinds of things. And I think that those are going to be the lessons that people need to look towards, like learning from other people's mistakes. And there are absolutely going to be things that come up in the future that, you know, are make, you know, maybe our phones in our pockets right now obsolete, you know, because maybe it's a microchip in the back of your head. Maybe it's a hologram that comes out of your watch. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I think that there's always going to be something new.
Absolutely. So Sarah, how do you think your hometown or city that you grew up in molded you into the person that you are today?
That's a 180. I think that that's a little bit of a loaded question. I grew up, you know, we were expats when I was a kid and always had a family farm in Northern Idaho. So I kind of had, I would say it's definitely lent to my sense of adventure a little bit. Because I went from, you know, going to a Catholic school in San Jose, Costa Rica to a rural public school in Northern Idaho. So, I went from being a minority to never seeing a minority. So it was a very, I would say, yeah, I think that maybe I have a different outlook on things just based on that experience and being the other and being, you know, the one that fits in and homogenized. But I think that sense of adventure comes from it. I think that's where I get that, not the passion, but my independence to drive forward and be an entrepreneur. I think that quality comes from that just because I'm always home wherever I am, right? Wherever my head lays down on a pillow, I'm home and I'm comfortable. I don't get travel anxiety or anything like that. And I think that kind of travels into my career as well. I, you know, like it's uncomfortable shifting careers. I've done it a lot, or industries at least for sure. And, you know, there's always a learning curve. There's always a shift. And I tend to just love it. I think I thrive on it. And I think I kind of enjoy the rush. It's probably what an actor experiences before they go out on stage, right? Mm. That excitement.
Mm. I love that. I love everything you said there. And I have to agree with you. I think that, you know, how you grew up and the different places that you went, this place you went to school and seeing all the different things that you've seen, I think has given you your passion and the inability to not be afraid of doing something new or trying something new. Some people who maybe never traveled a lot when they were a kid and then all of a sudden they had to travel, it was a little bit harder for them to move somewhere or what have you, where you would seem like you had that, you learned early. And so when it came time when you were older, it was easier for you to do that. So
yeah, I think it's spot on. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Any final thoughts today?
I don't know, Andrew. I just have to shamelessly plug that everyone needs to find us on LinkedIn.
I think they do. I think definitely people need to find us both on LinkedIn, absolutely, yeah. And have conversations with us. I definitely feel, I'll speak for you. I feel that people should be, if they don't know who you are, they definitely should be finding out who you are and having a conversation with you. And like I said earlier, I feel like if they do, I feel that it won't take them very long to gravitate to you just because of your compassion and your passion and your overall friendly and outgoing personality. I feel like people will just gravitate to that. And then to hear your innovation and hear knowledge in this space is going to keep people dedicated and wanting to learn more from you. So I definitely agree with you on that. And that's why I want to take the time to thank you. You have been one of the biggest supporters of me from the get-go since we met. And to have you a part of this very special episode means I can't tell you how much it means to me for you to be part of it. And I couldn't be happier to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored to be a part of it. And I just love seeing people go after what they're excited about and their passion. So, you know, the feeling is mutual. I appreciate the conversations. We met on LinkedIn. So that's why I wanted to make sure that we pitched that, because I think that really great connections and our networks can continue to grow. And if anybody wants to reach out to me and talk nerdy, I look forward to it and I welcome it. So,
yep. I have your show notes, your information in the show notes of the other episode. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to put everything, every place that you can get a hold of Sarah. And I definitely say to everybody that's listening, if you have an opportunity and you want to reach out to her, because I feel like she's going to be so happy to hear from you and have a conversation with you for sure.
Yes, looking forward to it.
So on behalf of myself and my guest, Sarah, I'd like to thank you all for listening. And until next time, be safe and remember, everyone, that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.